the Social Fishing Members Podcast, your exclusive access to freshwater content. Welcome to 2026. We are starting the new year, and what better way to start the new year with another Members Podcast episode. I hope you're having a great Christmas time and a great holidays. Happy New Year. And let's jump into this episode where I'm going to be talking about Murray Cod lures. Not so much of a story about a recent trip, but more about different lures and when you use one over the other. Now, just so you know, there is heaps of video content in the membership where we do cover this kind of content, but I know a lot of you like to listen to things. So we're going to be creating podcasts, chats on a lot of the videos that we create, so you have something to listen to on the road. And in this one in particular, I want to talk about when is which lure the best. So I want to dive deep on into each lure category. We're talking about river systems here and picking the right lure for the session. And the whole point of this discussion is what lure is going to catch you the most fish. And also the biggest fish. So we'll use those as our two categories. It's not about what lure am I going to have the most fun with, because sometimes, like say example, a surface lure is incredibly more fun to fish than the others, but it's not the most successful in terms of catching fish. So let's just look at, I want to go fishing for cod. I want to catch a cod. I don't care what lure I use. What is the best one in the circumstance to catch me the most fish, get me the most bites, land the most fish? And also we'll touch on what's the best option for the bigger fish. Or I might even have the bigger fish chat in a separate podcast episode coming up. This one I'm doing solo by myself, and I'm just going to run through a few different scenarios and those different lure types. It's going to be a short, punchy episode that I hope you get a lot from. When we go out for a session, the thought is always, what lure am I going to tie on? And most of the time you tie on your confidence lure, or one that worked for you last time on your last trip, or one that worked for you last time at that spot that you fished. Now, just remember that you need to be adaptable. You have to have the ability to vary from that go-to lure, because it's not always the best option. It depends on your target species and it depends on the location. So let's look at the different categories of lures that you can use on rivers, and we'll keep it pretty straightforward. Your top two and your two most common, probably your two best, are your spinnerbaits. Second is your hard bodies, your diving hard bodies. They float, so you can cast them in, you can let them sit there, they dive down. If you hit a snag, you can pause, they float back up. Your typical diving hard body, your typical banana-shaped, Australian-made hard body like an Orgy, a Stump Jumper, an Australian Crafted Invader, and there's a whole heap of other brands out there on the market. They're your first two. The third one that we like to add to the kit now, which we use quite a lot, you've probably seen us use it in a lot of the content, is a weedless plastic. Definitely not as versatile as the first two, but something that should be in your kit. Even a couple of them should be in your kit somewhere. So the third one is a weedless plastic. Fourth one is a surface lure. In category five, I would say swim baits and plastics because they fish very similar. This is not a weedless plastic, just like a plastic rigged with treble hooks like a swim bait that you bring through the water. Most of the time, swim baits are more easier to use in rivers. So they're your five classes. You've got chatterbaits or mumblers as well. You've got lipless crankbaits with beetle spins that you can run, but we'll leave them out of the equation for this one. Your core five are those ones that I just talked about. Now, most of the time, the spinnerbait and the hard body is your staple option, but it doesn't always mean it is the best. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because on any given session, I always go, I wonder what they're going to bite on best. I wonder what's going to work the best. And sometimes you can be a bit surprised, and sometimes you have to try different options to work out what is actually best, especially when you go to a new river system. Don't always think, oh, I love spinnerbaits, just tie on a spinnerbait and just fish a spinnerbait and you might get a bite or two or three. And you think, yeah, beauty, that's all I'm going to throw. But you might have caught twice as many on a hard body. So I'm going to give you a few rules to go off when you go on a session to help you pick the right lure for the job. And it also sometimes, or a lot of the times, comes down to the actual physical location that you are fishing in. A rule number one, the first rule that I like to follow, is water clarity. Let's look at water clarity first, because it is a huge contributor to what lure should be running. If the water is on the slightly dirtier side, okay, so if you're on the slightly milkier, dirty colored waterway that doesn't have a heap of clarity, let's say less than 50 centimeters of clarity typically. It's a brown sort of a color. If it's typically that color or if it's a bit dirtier than normal, your hard bodies and your spinnerbaits are going to be the picks. By far are going to be the most productive options in those scenarios. You'll find a spinnerbait time and time again will catch heaps and heaps of fish in those typical waterways. The vibration, the flash, the fish are drawn to it. And a hard body, very loud, especially with a rattle, lots of thump, lots of vibration, you will find the fish move to those lures most of the time. So which one in those scenarios, say it's dirty, when is a spinnerbait better than a hard body? If you have watched our videos, you will know what I'm about to share. But they both do work in a lot of scenarios. If you do have a very high, fast-running irrigation river that's quite deep and you've only got slack pockets along the edges, a spinnerbait will be your best friend. Because if you cast a hard body, put it this way, if you cast a hard body in and you're winding it out through open water and the river is too deep for it to get down in and amongst the structure, you need to be able to drop your lure tight in against the slack pockets on the edges where you might find a fish sitting up high and waiting. That is when you will want to use a spinnerbait. When you find your rivers are lower, slower flowing, both spinnerbaits and hard bodies will work very well. But I find we catch a lot more fish on hard bodies that allow us to cover the water, especially if the water is moving slowly. A hard body, you can fish through the water much faster than a spinnerbait. You can cover more water and you can keep it down for a longer period of time in amongst the submerged timber. So let's imagine you have a medium to low flowing river. The current's not too bad. It's nice flow. You do have pockets in amongst behind the structure that's exposed on the bank. But then you have a plethora of sunken timber under the water that you might be able to see or that you can't see all the way back to the boat. A hard body, you can cast, wind, cast, wind, cast, wind, and it will bash over all of that timber. A spinnerbait, you can do the same thing with, but you have to retrieve slowly. If you increase your retrieve, it rises in the water column, and it basically draws it away from the fish. And that's where I prefer to fish a hard body, because I prefer to cover a lot of water, cover as much water as possible, and find a hungry fish. If you compare those two ways of fishing, and there's a video on this called Working Fast or Slow in a River System. We've covered this. If you fish, you can fish two ways, fast or slow. So slow means slower retrieves, lots more casts to an individual log, really covering the water. Or you can fish faster. You can cast, retrieve a medium pace to a faster pace and cover just the key pockets on the log and keep moving on. Obviously, if you're bank walking and it takes you ages to walk to the bank, you are going to want to fish slowly. You're going to want to make as many casts as you can into that area. You can retrieve quick, but you still want to cover that water and fish heaps of that water and before you move on. So that's the only option there. But if you are in a scenario where you're from a boat and you are drifting, you've got plenty of structure for the rest of your day ahead, I find I've done both. So when I was younger, I started with fishing very thoroughly, covering the log, doing lots of casts, and time again, 80% of the time, let's say, you will get the fish in the first cast to that spot, your first cast on that spot of that log. So let's say a log running into the river, it has five key different spots where a fish could be sitting. You want to put one cast on each of those spots. It doesn't mean one cast to the log, it just means one to each spot. Do not cast to the same spot again. That is fishing slow if you want to do that, but that is not fishing fast and covering water quickly, and I recommend against that. You want to cover as much water as possible to try and bump into as many hungry fish as possible. And I find in the long run, you will catch more fish by covering water rather than fishing slower. That's just a way that I like to fish, and that has produced for me many, many times. Consistently, we find we catch more and bigger fish doing that. And that's why a hard body is more efficient in those lower, slower flows. But let's say the sun's up really high during the middle of the day and the fish are tucked right in against the edges in the shade. We might not know that until a few hours into our trip. Then we may need a spinnerbait to get it in and close and sink it down to get the bite. Then you need to be able to adapt between the two. Separate to that, when do the others shine? Most of the time, a spinnerbait and a hard body will shine the best. There are times in highly pressured systems. This is usually the only time you need to go away from a spinnerbait or a hard body, or if you want to chase bigger fish. So in most scenarios, a spinnerbait and a hardbody will catch you the most fish, and you need to chop and change between the two. Before I move on to the other lures, actually, another thing to remember is I actually have a hardbody and a spinnerbait on the rod on every given trip, all the time nearly. And I will chop and change based on the structure that's ahead of me. Some structure you can fish it more efficiently with a hardbody than a spinnerbait. And then you might come around next corner and a hardbody is not ideal and you want to use a spinnerbait. I, in every single trip, are constantly changing rods. I don't think I've ever seen anyone else do it as much as I do. The only problem is you need to be in tune with those different rods and those different lures and casting accuracy. But I find it actually helps me catch a lot of fish. And the reason being is how I go about it is if we have an edge that's slower moving, a lot of this timber is submerged under the water, I'll go with a hard body or a rock wall or something like that. Something that I can cast and wind quickly and make another cast and make another cast. I always use it in really slow moving water that allows me to cover the water really quickly. Spinnerbait just takes too long to try and find an active fish because you don't actually know exactly where the fish is sitting because the current is slower. And then we might come around a corner where the current picks up a fair bit. There's no logs or timber pulling, stretching out into the river. There's no willows I can run a hard body right along the length of. And a lot of the structure is pushed up right against the edge. Then that's where the spinnerbait will come on. But remember, some days spinnerbaits are going to work far better than hard bodies. And even if the structure does change throughout the day, you will stick with one of those lures because they are fishing better. And I got a few scenarios for you. And the thing that made me think about this from a trip that I just did. So they're the spinnerbaits and the hard bodies. Moving on to the other three. Top water. Surface, is it ever more effective? And there are periods where yes, it is more effective than using subsurface lures. The biggest one is fishing in the dark in a river system. By far, a surface lure is likely to get you more bites and more fish and better quality fish after dark than a subsurface lure. The reason being is because it's more efficient for you to fish that lure in the dark. You cast, you wind, you don't have to worry about depth at all. You don't have to worry about sinking it down. And it's loud. It draws the fish in from a long way. Remember, it's dark down there. They can't see anything. They will travel as well. So they will travel. So let's say we're fishing in the dark and we don't have much moon. If you want to cast a spinnerbait and catch one, which you can, you need to be casting close to that log. Because if you land 2 meters off that log, then the spinnerbait's not going to have enough draw power to draw that fish in. Even if it's out and cruising, it might not feel that lure. Basically, the draw is like how far away from that lure does a fish notice that presentation. The draw of a surface lure is far greater than any other lure that you will ever throw. So once it's dark, the fish are willing to travel. They're out from their structure cruising around. And it's very hard to be accurate because you can't see unless you have a full moon. Surface lure is always going to be the standout. Unless there's periods where, you know, it's colder, they're not quite happy because of low pressure, things like that, but all around the bite's going to be tough. I will say a surface lure outshines in the low light. Another thing, when surface fishing in the dark, we talked about this on one of our videos previously, and it's a cool concept, is we were drifting down the river, right? It was on the Upper Murray, and it's got a lot of swift water and then some still pools. Most of it's fast flowing, and I love that when fishing in the daylight, because when you have flow, you can pinpoint the pockets and where those fish live. You know exactly where the fish, or a hungry fish, is sitting and ready to ambush and wait for food to come down. It's sitting at the top of that structure where the flow is pushing in that shady pocket. And when you have the flow, there's 1, 2, 3 spots that they're going to be on that bit of timber, and you cast to those 3 spots. You know exactly where it's going to be. Once you've made those casts, you've then covered the log. You move to the next one. It changes after dark though. So this is what's super curious. I was fishing, and these are things you think about only when you're in the scenario. We're floating down the river and I'm like, yeah, this is all really good water, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it was getting late, like starting to get dark and hard to see. And I was like, see, this swift water now that we're throwing top water and I can start to not see is actually not the best water because the flow is going to jam us up against the structure and it snagged more. The fish are actually tight to the cover. They're not going to cruise out in that real fast flow to eat. Unless we cast super accurate, but it's so hard to be accurate. Then we floated down to a bigger, slower pool where the water basically just was really deep, wide, and the current just dropped right out of the river and it was much slower. In the day, I really don't like fishing those pools because they take so long to pick apart. They're really good. They've got plenty of fish in them, but they take longer to pick apart. So for 100 casts there versus 100 casts in the flow, we will typically catch a lot more fish in the flow, and therefore that's why I prefer to skip over the slow stuff in a river where you do have flow. If you are fishing the slacker pockets because it's really good timber, like a slower pool, then that's where I will use a hard body. Or if it's really bright sunny day and you've got shady pockets, pitch in spinnerbaits to those shady pockets. But the light was fading, and we come around this corner, and then I said to my mate I was fishing with, I was like, see this pool here, I don't like fishing it in the daylight. But now that it's dark, this is the perfect spot to fish surface. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, like I just explained to you guys before, the flowing water, not ideal for surface for all those reasons I mentioned. Now that it's slow and pooled water, the fish can easily come out and swim around. They're more willing to travel, and our casts don't have to be accurate. We can sit wide, we can cast. As long as the lure splashes in there somewhere, we're in the zone. And not long after I said that, he nailed a cracking mid-70s cod from that pool. Because it's so much easier to fish, and it's ideal to cover with the surface lure, a fish will hear that lure from a long way away and travel to feed. So they're really good spots to hold fish, and they're very effective to fish with surface lures. So something to just consider on a session, surface in that scenario, in the dark, will outfish. The only other time surface does present as the go-to lure is if you are chasing bigger fish in your low light. Surface has an ability to draw larger fish, and also has the ability to fool larger fish because they can't see it, they don't get a good look at it, they have to make a split second decision whether to hit it or not. Is the hookup real good? Not really, unfortunately. But if you are chasing that trophy fish, you'd really want to get that bigger fish out of a river, I would recommend throwing surface. I've caught 4 river meteries now, and 2 of them have come on surface. I've missed a lot of big fish on surface. I've had far more bites from big fish on top water than subsurface. So in your first hour and a half of the morning and last hour and a half at the end of the day, surface is going to be your biggest friend if you want to chase bigger cod. Obviously big surface lures, and obviously in the dark as well. So in the low light, once it gets to low light, if you are chasing bigger fish, it is by far the best option. So that's the 2 categories where surface becomes the best lure to throw. Outside of that, it's far from a lure that's going to catch you more fish than a spinnerbait or a hard body. Moving on to another one, which is weedless plastics. They're a funny one. They're interesting. I really like them, but sometimes I also really don't like them. One thing to note that's the biggest negative about weedless plastics, and it's not the hookup rate, that is obviously a negative, it's the fact that they blow out in the flow really quite badly. So if you are wanting to retrieve the lure all the way back to the boat and keep it down, and you have flowing water, they don't work that good. It's very funny. A spinnerbait is a sinking lure, and so is a weedless plastic. But a spinnerbait has the blade, and it like grabs in the water. It's real strange. It does rise in the current, but the blade makes it harder for it to rise, if that makes sense. The current pushing on your line and the spinnerbait kind of... What happens is the spinnerbait blade grabs. It's like it grabs in the water so you can keep your line taut, and the flow doesn't wash it out as bad. It does wash it, but it doesn't wash it up as bad as compared to a weedless plastic. I never knew this until I actually fished weedless plastics. The issue with the weedless plastic is there's no resistance between the lure and my rod tip. So the flow in fast flow when you're fishing across the current, it blows a big belly in line in with your weedless plastic. And it actually pulls it away from the structure. And it actually pulls it away quicker than a spinnerbait gets pulled away. It seems very strange. But that's the biggest downfall. So when you are trying to roll it through current and keep it down, it doesn't stay down. So it is good for casting in, allowing it to sink and rolling it for the first couple of winds. And I've had a lot of my bites from better fish happen in those first few cranks of the handle while it's in against the structure. If the water is slower flowing, no problem at all. You can cast it. It sinks really quick, and then you can roll it and keep it down across that slower moving water. So it works in fast and slow moving water, but it does struggle quite a lot in swift water when you're actually trying to fish the flow. If you're casting over the flow and into the slack water and you get it down for a little bit, it gets in the zone. It works okay. But a spinnerbait actually works better. You can cast it upstream of the flow, sink it down, and wash it across far better than you can a weedless plastic. The general thing with the Weathers plastic, as you've probably seen in our videos and the content we've written, is they are very, very lifelike, very realistic, and we find we get lots more bites on them than we do on spinnerbaits, especially with larger fish. It's just your hookup rate isn't very good. I find the hookup rate is poorer with your smaller fish on your smaller Weathers plastics. So when you're running sort of 120 to 150 mil paddle tail with say a 6.0 or an 8.0, whereas when you're running your 280, 200 mil Weathers plastics with say a 10.0, bigger fish mainly smack them, and I find the hookup rate on them is far greater. The big fish don't seem to miss them too bad. As long as you strike really hard, they whack them. They always hit the head, so they're always going for the hook. And because they've got so much power, they crush the plastic no problem. As long as you are a very quick and hard striker with a fast action rod, not a soft rod, you need a fast action rod, you can bury the hook, then they aren't too bad. The biggest key, I think, that we have found with the Weathers plastics, especially converting hookup rates, is to run the Weathers plastics that are laid have a blade underneath the chin, because it seems to be a small blade. We find the Willow works better than the Colorado. A little tiny Willow, it just seems to help the fish know where to hit it, or it gives them a reason to hit that spot. And we find time and time again, the yellow belly hook up, even on Weathers plastics, the smaller ones. And we cannot work out why. If you don't have that blade, like say you have a typical hard body, most of the time, yellows will tap the back. When you're fishing in the lakes, they'll tap the back. If you don't have that blade, I think what they do is they tap the tail where there's no hook. But when you give them that blade, it actually makes them want to eat where the blade sits. And that is under the belly. And they grab the whole thing and the hook's on the top of that. And we actually hook quite a few yellow belly, which is super surprising on the Weathers plastics, because I think that's the blade help. So I will always try and run a blade. For some reason, the Willow seems to produce far better than a little tiny Colorado when you get them. So you can get the Owner Flashy Swimmers, you can get the BKK Titans, they've all got blades on them. For some reason, those tiny little Willow ones seem to work the best. That's the Weathers plastic. When is it a standout? I don't know if it ever is. If you need to skip cast up underneath willow trees and right up the back of structure and fish it through super heavy, dense timber and be able to roll it wherever you want to go, say in a slow pool, slow moving water, you can fish it down deep, you can get it down quick, you can roll it through, then they possibly could be the standout presentation. We like to fish them because they're fun. The hits are really good, and we seem to get more hits than spinnerbaits in pressured areas. So they're a standout in super heavy, dense timber when you need to get them down, as long as the flow is not too bad. Two, as an alternative sinking lure for a spinnerbait in super heavily pressured waters, we seem to get a lot more bites. And three, I find they're a really good option for chasing bigger cod, again, in pressured systems. When you want to catch a bigger cod, I find they work, and we seem to get better big bites on them than big spinnerbaits. So if I want a sinking lure to chase a bigger cod, smarter fish, I'll opt for a 200 mil Weathers plastic before I go for a big spinnerbait with a 200 mil plastic on the back of it and stinger hooks. I just find it seems to draw bigger fish and fool them just a little bit better. But it does have some downsides. But the Weathers plastic's definitely one I would put in the kit, and I always have in the kit. For example, on a trip we just went on, it landed the biggest fish of the session and the trip when we really weren't using it all that much, and end up producing the goods. The last one is your swim bait category or your general plastics, but we'll just stick to calling it swim baits. Swim baits are not one that I've used in a river all that much ever until recently, thanks to one of our newest contributors and team, Jordan. Jordan fished the Upper Murray River and uses swim baits not because they are just incredibly fun to fish, because they actually catch him more fish than your typical lures like your spinnerbaits and hard bodies. The reason being is just incredible, and it's well and truly worth going and watching that recent video we did. It's on swim baiting and using high profile hard bodies for River Murray cod. Phenomenal. Especially in clear systems. So there's two scenarios where swim baits may outfish, let's say three, I'm going to give it three. There's three scenarios where swim baits will actually be one of the best lures to use. The first one is in boulder, rocky country where it's fairly clear. Now, why do they work so well? They work well because they're an incredible fish representation, and the boulder and rocky stuff, your hooks don't get snagged on too bad, because the biggest downfall of a swim bait is the treble hooks. They will snag on every piece of timber possible, especially when you have flow, and they can be an absolute nightmare to fish. You do not want to sink them too far. The only place where you can allow them to sink further than sort of just under the surface is in that rocky, gorgy country. So if you have clear water with lots of rock, boulders, swim bait, it could be one of your best options to use. So I'm talking about the Murrumbidgee River around Canberra and the ACT, the Macquarie River above Burrendong, through all that gorge country, all of your New England rivers that run through gorgy country like the Gwydir, the Severn, all of that style country. Those river systems, your swim baits are ideal to use. You can bring them down through the current, they look realistic, and the fish love them. Higher profile ones seem to work better because they match carp from those systems, and they can be one of the most standout lures. The second scenario where a swim bait will outfish is if you are trying to chase bigger fish, typically in those systems that we just talked about, but also in other systems that are clear enough, even if they do have heavy timber. So clear enough rivers that run, you know, with a meter of clarity, that fish feed visually, even if it has got timber, I think a swim bait is a great option for bigger fish. Again, it's sitting with that weedless plastic scenario. Just with a weedless plastic, you can sink it down. So better probably when the sun's up. Whereas a swim bait, you don't want to sink it down. It's just not ideal. You need to keep it higher. You don't want to be snagging with it, but it is super realistic and the big fish will move up to feed. So it can be a really good option for chasing bigger fish in clearer scenarios, but it might not always be the best option. So that's a second scenario for a swim bait. I know people who have used them on the Murray River below Lake Mwala, swinging them across the front of big logs, chasing big, big meter fish because they see so many surface lures there. So instead, in that low light period, cast, swing it across the front of those laydowns, those big logs, chasing bigger fish, big swim baits. So that is another option. The third is when they are visual feeders in very clear water. For example, like what we filmed on the Upper Murray, where they are feeding specifically on some sort of fish. Now, in the Upper Murray, they feed on trout. And that's why Jordan uses that Biwa Strout lure, which I've been running too lately. And I did that session with him on the Upper Murray and was completely blown away by how they react to swim baits. To the point where I was questioning him over and over and again, saying, you just use them because they're fun and they catch a few fish. He's like, no, because they actually catch me more fish than a spinnerbait or a hard body a lot of the time. I was like, really? Even on a rock wall, even in the sun, like not just low light? He's like, nah, all the time. Because those fish are so used to feeding on trout, and trout are very fast and move very quickly. So we think those Upper Murray fish have no issues racing out to eat a swim bait because it is so realistic. It basically looks identical to what they normally feed on. Whereas you throw a spinnerbait in there and you're usually catching smaller fish on them because the river has seen so many spinnerbaits and the fish don't move as far for them because they're not super realistic. Whereas these swim baits, the fish can see a long way and they will race and fly from a long distance to eat a swim bait. I then went on a trip. I'm going to lead into a bit of a story because we did that on the Upper Murray. Even when the water got a little bit dirty, we could only see about 60 centimeters. They were still willing to do that because that's those fish and how they feed. Jordan's also tried this on the Murrumbidgee River, and so have I, sort of through that Gundagai to Wagga region where it starts to get a bit dirtier and you've got lots of timber and it doesn't work all that well. You're going to catch more fish on your hard bodies, your spinner baits, your weedless plastics. And your surface. We've tried it, still can't work out why. I'm still going to keep trying to see if we can get it to work. You have to be very on your game. You can't let the lure sink too far, but they're just not, it's not as clear and they're not as willing to travel to eat because they don't have trout zipping around all the time. They have carp and the carp just sort of mooch along the front of those log jams and don't swim all that quick. So you have to try and replicate that. And I just don't think the fish are as willing to chase because that's just not how they behave or how they feed. So fish in every single different system, you got to think about behave very differently. I recently went down the Mitter River with Matt, and I reckon I want to catch up with Matt to discuss this adventure chasing cod down the lower section of the Mitter. Incredible bit of water. Very, very similar to the Upper Murray, probably slightly smaller in width and a lot more heavy timber. But otherwise, fast, full of trout. We saw trout rising flat out. Very, very clear, but not clear on the day that we went. And I thought the swim bait's got to work. I ended up catching the first fish of the trip for myself on the Strout in the low light on a mid-river boulder, fishing it down with the current. The other thing too, I'm going to go on a tangent here because I'm thinking of it. I was fishing with a mate of mine, Jack, who you probably heard him talk in episode one of this, the main social fishing podcast, a mate of mine from when I was younger. Caught up with him last year, caught up with him this year. Don't get to fish with him very often anymore. And he loves his spinnerbaits, fishes his spinnerbaits all the time, and just is set on that. So I was throwing this swim bait, and he couldn't believe that fish would come up to eat it near the surface. Like, Murray Cod, you got to get down low, down deep. And I was coming up to this mid-river boulder, and I was casting, sort of washing the lure across the front, but I was explaining it's not natural. I can't swing it. I can't swim it properly. So as we drifted past the boulder, I would cast upstream and retrieve it down through the flow as if basically a bit of food. The fish is swimming down with the flow naturally, like the food would, down into the slack water behind the rock, and kept cruising it downstream. And because I was bringing it down with the current, I could control the depth, I could keep it running nicely, and it wasn't swinging and washing up in the float, and bang, I got nailed. So I put like four or five casts across that area, even cast across the back of those rocks, and it came across into the eddy, it washed downstream a bit, but when it hit the current rose in the water column, then it hit the next bit of the eddy and come across. It was slightly higher than I wanted it to be. Then I cast one back upstream, brought it down through with the flow. The worst possible cast you can do for snagging. Remember this, if you're on the bank, casting a spinnerbait or a hard body in flow with timber, I don't recommend casting upstream. Yes, it's the best to get the fish to bite, but you're going to snag and snag that much that you're going to give up fishing. When you've got rocky bouldery country, do that cast every time. If you're in a boat and it's timber, do the cast knowing that you may snag and you may have to go back up and get it, but it is the best presentation, lure presentation. In this scenario, it was a rock, and I'm in a boat, so it was a no-brainer for me to make that cast, and it produced the fish. That's a complete tangent, but just another thing, another lesson on lure presentation that I just wanted to cover. Going back to the swim baits, that's the third scenario, is fishing in an area where those fish are in tune to feeding on other fish, especially trout, because they've got to move quick and hit them hard. And the upper Murray, it's phenomenal. The midder, I tried to do it on. I landed that first fish, and I thought it was going to be quite productive. But the clarity was on the poorer side. It's still brown. It was less than half of its normal clarity. We got it down to about a meter, but the fish definitely weren't chasing it out in the sunlight to eat it, even though there were lots of trout around. I would love to do that float again on the midder, in super clear water, and fish a swim bait all day long and see if they're willing to come out into the sun to eat it. I'm not sure if they would. The fish were just, they're a very different fish to the upper Murray fish, which is crazy because they're like not even 100 kilometers apart in a direct line of sight. One runs in the top of Lake Hume, one runs in the bottom. Yeah, very, very different, very similar looking, but also fish behave very differently in them. So you need to assess it on the session. You need to learn from our team's reports and the maps for what lures are a standout in what area. For example, upper Murray, swim baits are phenomenal. Go on the Murrumbidgee below Wagga, you could very rarely outfish a spinnerbait. Spinnerbait, you put it on and you're just going to catch so many fish. You go upstream at Wagga, it's a little bit clearer. The weedless plastic will keep up with a spinnerbait. And hard bodies work really well up there too. It changes from spot to spot, depending on how many lures of that type they see, depending on what they're in tune with, and depending on the water clarity. So you do need to mix things up. But when you ever get to a spot, remember those few rules that I shared with you. And most of the time, if you're in your beginner phase of learning Murray Cod fishing, your hard bodies and spinnerbaits, stick with them. I did that for years and years and years, and I still catch, for example, on this midder trip, most of them were on spinnerbaits, and I got a few on hard bodies. Only one was on a weedless plastic. Mix it up between a spinnerbait and a hard body. Mix it up based on the structure. But remember, if the river is pumping, it's an irrigation river and it's super deep, you're going to be fishing and focusing on the pockets along the edge. You need a sinking lure like a spinnerbait. If you have slacker water, shallower water where you have room and ability to retrieve all the way to the boat and be bouncing over timber, it's got a little bit of flow to it, like a medium flow, you know, the hard body's going to dig down and hold down better and be able to fish all the way back. Maybe it's middle of the day, the same scenario I just mentioned. Middle of the day, sun's up, the fish are only sitting tight to those shady pockets because it's the middle of summer right now and they're getting away from the heat. even though you want to bash the timber all the way back, they're just not biting like that. Spinnerbait's working. Yeah, maybe that's because they're tucked in all on those shadows. But maybe it's the same river, same scenario, but it's autumn where it's a lot cooler and they like that sun warmth, then your hard body is going to allow you to cover the water quicker. Maybe it is completely still pooled water and you want to cover it nice and deeply and nice and quickly. That's when I will go with a hard body. But they might not be biting on hard bodies on this given day, again, because they might be tucked up in the shadows. So you just cast the spinnerbait in, let it sink, couple of winds, bring it out, go again. Don't worry about fishing the spinnerbait all the way back to the boat because you're out in the open sun and they're just not feeding out there. You just want to be tight to the structure. These are the things you need to ask yourself when you're on the water. The other thing too is if you're not too sure and you got two of yous, fish something different each to see what's going to work. Mix it up. We find that when the fish are biting really well, you end up using what you like or what you want to use and it works. But it was a trip like the one we just did down the middle where the water was a bit dirtier. The swim bait didn't work for me. And a lot of the boys went to the spinner bait and they were catching fish. But then we went through slow periods where I was like, well, I'm not really catching anything, but either are you. So maybe the swim baits will work just as well. But then the spinner bait started picking a fair few more fish up. But then I started using a hard body. But instead of when I went to the hard body, I was like, I need a hard body on for some of these logs. I reckon the hard body, dirtier water will still fish good. But I went for one that had a large presentation, a large thump in it, slightly deeper diving, and a loud rattle. Rather than using, say, a high profile, more subtle hard body, I did use the Big M for a while because I was chasing better class fish. And it just wasn't working. The water was slightly dirtier. The fish didn't really want to chase. They weren't coming out. A lot of our bites were coming really quick on the spinnerbaits from the guys. So I assessed that and went, right, the Big M just doesn't dive quickly. It comes away from the structure quick. I'll go to a 90mm AC. It crash dives and it's loud. And it worked. And it landed a couple of really nice fish. So I used that on the deeper, slower pooled water. And then when we fished the faster water, I went to a spinnerbait. But then I thought, right, the spinnerbait's not really standing out amazingly. They probably see a fair few of them here. Let's try weedless plastic. The water was clear enough for weedless plastic and I could sink it into the spots just as I could a spinnerbait. So then when it was time to sort of upgrade the fish, we wanted a bigger fish, I went to a big 200mm weedless plastic. I didn't go small because it doesn't have a big presence. I was like, let's try a big 200mm weedless plastic so I can sink it right into those shady pockets, roll it for a little bit. The flow will blow it out, but I'll just rip it out then. So I'm basically only fishing halfway back to the boat. And that produced the biggest fish of the trip, which was 90 centimeters. Probably Matt put a cast in there. It wasn't exactly where that fish was. So Matt did say, one day if I had my lure like right where that fish was, would it have eaten a spinnerbait? Obviously a 90 centimeter fish is a smart fish. Possibly could have eaten it. We never know. But it definitely found, hit, and nailed that weedless plastic. So all of those lures do have their place. I always take a fair few, even on those inflatable boat floats. I've always got a huge range of lures from high profile hard bodies to deep diving hard bodies with rattles, a range of different weights and size spinnerbaits. Colors really don't matter too much at the end of the day. A couple of different diving depths in your Big M's, which is your high profile hard body. A range of weedless plastics, 200mm, 150mm, weedless plastics with different hook weights and a bunch of different surface lures, and now have a new box with swim baits, sinking and floating swim baits after my sessions and what I've learned on the Upper Murray. So they're the lure categories and sort of how to figure out what to use on any given session. Don't just get stuck with using the same lure you always use. The same thing happened to us a couple of seasons back on a Bidgie float we did where the river was so much shallower than we thought, but it was quite dirty. And we caught a lot of fish on those shallow running Big M's, high profile Big M's, because they just tracked really nicely. All your deep diving hard bodies were just plowing into the sand and the mud. And that's where we then started using the weedless plastics because we needed lures to be able to fish, you know, higher in the water column. Spinnerbaits were catching a few here and there, but the weedless plastics, you could sink them in and roll them through and you could keep them mid-water. And the fish seemed to be more in tune to them than the spinnerbaits. So the shallow running hard bodies with a high profile and the weedless plastics were the standout on that trip. So you never really know what it's going to be on any given session. So start with what you know, but be ready to adapt. Don't just go out and cast all day and get to the end of the day and go, oh, we just cast the spinnerbaits all day and we caught a few. Mix it up, change it up. Don't mix it up and change it up every 10 casts or 10 minutes. as the hours go by, start to think about things that you could change, especially when they are touchy and not feeding all that well. For another example, the Upper Murray float we did for cod opening, which I talked about in the last podcast, just phenomenal fishing. Jordan and I talked about it. 85 fish we caught in 2 days. It still seems stupid. I've never experienced anything like it, and I probably never will again. Only 2 or 3 were caught on spinnerbaits. They'd seen so many spinnerbaits, and the bigger fish were active. And if we could get one of those high-profile hard bodies or swim baits near them, they were nailing it. They were quicker to fish, easier to fish, cover more water. That when they're on, just cover as much water as you can, as quick as you can. Spinnerbaits are not very good for that. They're a slower lure to fish. So stick with your faster option lures when they're on. And yeah, that's all I have for today. Hopefully that runs through a few things that you might not have thought about before. All about lure selection and how to pick when the lure is most suitable for the river you're fishing. Remember the basic rule, the dirtier it is, your spinnerbaits and hard body is going to be better. Slightly clearer, that's when you can start to focus on your weedless plastic, swim baits even, and then that low light, your top water, especially for bigger fish. Just remember, the one thing we really didn't talk about in this chat was color. It is probably the least most important. Still something to consider. If you do end up with the right lure, then, you know, picking the right color for that right lure could make a difference. But most of the time, just look at the belly color and just match the color of a cod, trout, yellow belly, whatever they feed on, carp. So whites, yellows, oranges, brown sort of colors, they usually are the best for the bellies. Otherwise, other than that, it really does not matter all that much. Stick with naturals. Yeah, at the end of the day, I've got a mix of colors and I just basically pull out the lure that suits mostly rather than the color itself. Anyway, that's it for this chat. Hopefully it gives you something to listen to while you're on your travels, hopefully for a summertime holiday session. I'll be back with another podcast next week and plenty more as we roll through the 2026 Murray cod season. Heaps to talk about. Love this platform. I love helping you. Love sharing. If you have any questions, message them through to me. This year, we've got some big things coming. Lots of updates for the maps. I'm going to make it so much easier for you to view. Heaps of information on the maps and heaps of new maps, as well as our courses that we're going to release. So that's it for me for today. Any questions on Lewis from Murray Cod, let me know. And I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.